your Bibles this morning, and turn with me into Galatians chapter 1. The problem is that when you keep hearing something over and over again, it can become very natural for us, okay? So this is what the world is doing, and the things that are contrary to God and the things that are sin, we change nomenclature so that it's more palatable. And the reason they keep putting these things in front of us is so to dull our senses, to dull our hearing into thinking that now this is the right way. So we have to be careful. And God writes in His Word some warnings that, you know, just because, you know, we come to worship and just because we read our scriptures each day and because we do all those things that we think are pleasing to God, unless we live it and we have that daily relationship with Him and we have that communion with the Holy Spirit in our life 24/7, we can be deceived and we can slowly fall away. The falling away doesn't happen usually suddenly. It's actually happens very slowly, and you have to be very, very careful in our life. And Paul is writing to the Galatian church here. He says, "I am amazed that you are so quickly deserting Him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel." Again, God is the one that calls. He's setting the thing straight that unless you hear the call of God, you can't come. Now, you are responsible to respond to that call. But He's reminding the Galatian church that they were called by God. And it's through the grace of Jesus Christ that's how God showed His grace upon the world, is by sending His Son so that we would not perish the wrath of God. God does have an anger about Him. He does have not only love, but the other side of that coin is that He can be angry. And you do not want to be in the hands of an angry God. And what are the things that make God angry? It's not acknowledging Him as holy and acknowledge Him as the supreme being, the creator of this world and universe, and not acknowledging that it's through the grace of Jesus Christ that we have that opportunity to become the righteousness of holy God. So He's reminding them of this for a different gospel. There's a lot of different gospels out there today. Any denomination made by man is a different gospel. Okay, there's only one gospel. There's only one author of truth, and that is the Holy Spirit. Now, He may have used different men to write the scriptures, but ultimately it had one single author, and that was the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit only wrote what God told Him to write. And He left that for us so that we would have the true gospel. But when we begin to add things, when we begin to take things away, when we begin to make it more palatable to a lost world, then we have changed that gospel. Jesus Christ was that focal point of the gospel, but it was God's salvation that's the gospel. Jesus Christ is a part of that gospel. But we have to understand who's the author of the gospel, and that is God Himself, who from the foundation, before the foundation of the world, this was in God's mind and in God's plan to save us from our iniquity and to cleanse us from our iniquity and to put us upon that solid rock so that when the storms come and the world hits us, that we can stand strong in the faith that He has given us. It's His faith that matters. His faith comes from hearing, remember, and hearing by the Word of God. And then in verse 7 it says, which is not another, only there are some who are disturbing you and want to distort the gospel of Jesus Christ. And what they were doing, a lot of them were coming in saying, well, okay, we'll accept this grace and this mercy of God, but you also have to be circumcised. They were trying to hang on to the law and trying to hang on to the grace and mercy, which you can't. The first covenant was based upon what man could do to please God, and the second covenant is based upon God pleasing Himself through His Son, Jesus Christ, and equipping man to become the righteousness of God. And that's the difference in these covenants. But they were trying to hang on to that. And if you're not careful, religion does that to you. Religion is man's attempt to please God. And so any religion that you're in, I was asked this week in the exam room, and the gentleman asked, and he said, "Are you a religious man?" I said, "Wow, what an opportunity do I have here." I told him, "No, I'm not a religious man, and don't like religion, and God doesn't like religion." And I began to share with him about the difference between religion and a relationship with God. So again, it's amazing where God sometimes will give you opportunities to share that truth in season and out of season. What that means is be ready. Just be ready. And share truth with them, because our world looks at us as being religious. God does not like religion. Matter of fact, that was the only people that gave Jesus the most difficult time on earth was the religious people. Religion takes on that you got to do this and you got to do that, you got to do this and you got to do that. Where the relationship is, you don't do anything. Let me be the workmanship in your life. Allow me to do something. This is the amazing love of God, as he says, "I want to do something for you." Where religion says, "No, you got to do something for God." And if you don't allow God to do something in your life, then you're going to miss it. You're going to work your whole life. You're going to stand before him, and he's going to say, "Depart from me. I never knew you," because you never allowed me to work in your life. You never allowed me to give you my spirit. You never allowed me to destroy the flesh in your life. You've got to allow me to do it. See, this is what's amazing, that God gives us something. And we don't have to give God anything. Now, God will use us. And he uses us for his good pleasure and for his purposes. And that ultimate purpose is that he brings us to the point of our life that he can use us as a light, as that ambassador, so that others would be drawn to him. If you missed Sunday school, you missed a great lesson on we call it the Beatitudes. God didn't call it the Beatitudes. That's, again, man added that on there. But it's about the sermon that he gave on the Mount, where it talked about how blessed people are if they go through that. And I'm not going to, it's Matthew chapter 5. I want you to read that and understand that that's what this is all about, that we become the exact replica of who God's nature is, so that we can live in this world and proclaim the true gospel. And unfortunately, so many people have turned off an ear because all they've seen is religious hypocrisy. You got people in the church trying to convict people of their sin, when the scripture says only the Holy Spirit has that right to convict people of their sin. And so because of the hypocrisy that religion has laid forth, so many people have turned a deaf ear to what the true gospel is. And most churches have turned a deaf ear to what the true gospel is. In verse 8 it says, "But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to what we have preached to you, he is to be accursed." Now, where we have an advantage over this generation here is that the scriptures were being written. We have the advantage that they have been written. We have the advantage that the Holy Spirit has been given to us, not only to convict us of our sin, but lead us into righteousness. It says you need no man to teach you. But the Holy Spirit is there to teach us. So see, we when we are deceived, it's even worse now because of the fact that we have the true gospel. But see, we've allowed all the denominations, we've allowed all of the men to come in and tell us what the gospel is, instead of allowing the Holy Spirit to tell us what that gospel is. He says, "But even if we are an angel of heaven from preach your gospel contrary to what we have preached you, to you, he is to be accursed. And as we have said before, so I say again now, if any man is preaching to you a gospel contrary to what you received, he is to be accursed. You see, the gospel is to be received. See, so much focus is, do you know Jesus? That's a different gospel. It's not, do you know Jesus, is does he know you? You see, in Matthew chapter 7, that's the focal point of it, is that depart from me because I never knew you. He didn't recognize you because he recognizes the Holy Spirit within you. And that's how he recognizes us, is through that. So have you received, we focus so much on what we know instead of what we've received. See, it's all about receiving from God, not doing for God or not knowing about God, but what have you received from him? And have you received that gospel? You see, it says that those that don't have the Spirit of God living in them are not a child of God. That if your spirit does not bear witness with your spirit, then you're not a child of God. So you have to make sure and be very careful that when you assess your own life, that you've done it with the scriptures in front of you and the Holy Spirit convicting you and correcting you and guiding you and leading you, and not based upon your emotions and how you feel about this subject. He goes on to say, he said, for am I now seeking the favor of men or of God? You see, the favor of men is to tell you that everyone goes to heaven. That God loves you so much that he sends no one to hell. And that it doesn't really matter how you live. He accepts you for where you're at. And those are all just half-truths. God loves you in spite of where you're at. And he loves you enough not to keep you where he found you. You see, we got to make sure that we're telling the whole truth and not just part of it. Because if you only tell part of it, then it's a lie. And that's what we have done in our world today. We have lied to folks. We have made the focal point about going to heaven, not being the righteousness of God. You see, you shouldn't have to worry about where you're going to be in eternity if you are the righteousness of God. Or am I striving to please men? You see, it says in the end times that we'll have pastors and teachers coming up here preaching a different gospel to tickle our ears, to make us comfortable when we leave, to put the focal point on what you're doing for God instead of who are you. You see, if we look at the mission trips we go on and all the good deeds that we do, and then we surmise that we're okay with God, then see, we begin to please men and make them feel good about who they are and who and where they stand before God, when the gospel is totally contrary to that. It's not based on what you do, but it's based on who you are. You're born dead in your trespasses of sin. Flesh begets flesh. First comes the flesh, then will come the spirit. You see, and so that's the gospel. And we have to make sure that we stay true to what the gospel is and not listen to all this misinformation that we're getting. We live in a world of a lot of misinformation where truth doesn't really matter. It's what you believe. See, that's pleasing man. It doesn't matter what Scripture says anymore. It's a matter, how do you feel about it? What do you believe about it? And you just live your life and you stand on your principles of what you think about God. Taking away the fact that it's God's the only one that tells you what sin is. God is the only one that can tell us what's right and what's wrong, what's good and evil. He's written very plainly in his word what it is. And when we just deny it and we just say, okay, we're going to listen to this and we're going to create a God that doesn't exist. We're going to create a God that just absolutely can live with sin, and his love overshadows any sin in our life. Again, another lie of gospel. See, God didn't act upon his emotions. He said, I'm sorry I ever made man. But he acted upon his holiness and his righteousness, that he would provide a way for us to be reconciled back to him. If I were still trying to please men, then I would not be a bondservant of Christ. I can't do both. You can't please the world and you can't please God at the same time. And if you please God, you'll be displeasing to the world. And if you please the world, you'll be displeasing to God. You cannot mesh the two together, but religion comes in and says, we can bring this together. You know, that's our responsibility, is to make sure that people that are living in sin feel good about this loving God. Not that it changes them. Not that it takes them out of sin. But see, we just want to be saved from sin. We want to be saved from the wrath of God. See, we don't want the true gospel of being cleansed from all unrighteousness. And those chains that bind us. You know, sin binds us and keeps us from being who we need to be and what we want to be. And he releases those chains from us so that we can become the righteousness of God. So we can become holy like he is holy. But again, you can't be a bondservant of Christ and serve the world. You cannot agree with the world. You cannot agree with what's being thrown and shoved in our face today. You've got to take everything back to Scripture and say, this is wrong. In verse 11 it says, for I would have you know, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man. Make sure what you're hearing is not according to man. Make sure what you're hearing is that you can get alone with the Holy Scriptures and you can get alone with Holy God and he tells you what the truth is. You cannot live in iniquity and practice iniquity and practice unrighteousness and be a child of God. That is impossible. But see, religion says that's possible. Just come to church, sing a few songs, do a few good deeds, do the best you can in the world, and God will be pleased. God's not pleased with any human. He's not pleased with anyone of humanity. He's displeased with every and each and every one of us. Because we're born in iniquity and all we can be is sin. It's the nature of man that makes us do. See, religion wants to focus on what's... If you notice and look around, bear the truth of this. You look at what religion does and all the different denominations, they're just looking at sin. And their focal point is sin. Satan has got them so blinded to focus on sin instead of why you sin. If you don't solve the problem of why you sin and you just stop trying to sin, you're still accursed. You're still going to die and go to hell. You've got to be transformed. You've got to be a new creature. And that only happens through the miraculous new birth that God gives us. And the impregnation of the Holy Spirit in our life that gives us the power to go through those storms. To go through the power to show us that we are on the solid rock and not on the shifting sand. It was not according to man, for I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it. But see, you received it through the revelation of Jesus Christ. I can't be taught this. I can't get this by going to the seminary. I can't get this by getting there and studying it. I have this given to me by God. It's a revelation. For you have heard of my former manner of life in Judaism, how I used to persecute the church of God beyond measure and tried to destroy it. And I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries and among my countrymen, being more extremely zealous for my ancestral traditions. I'm going to bring this practical. If you've raised up in the Baptist tradition, you're in trouble. If you've raised up in the Methodist tradition, you're in trouble. If you've been raised up in the Catholic tradition, you're in trouble. If you're raised up in Hinduism, you're in trouble. Muslim, you're in trouble. Every religion that man can come up with, you are in trouble. I told them in Sunday school and shared with them in Sunday school, and I don't mind sharing it now because it's a tragedy in our world today is what's happening. We're more concerned whether somebody's a Baptist than if they're a child of God. The two aren't the same. Do you understand me? Because you're a Baptist doesn't mean you're a child of God. Now, you can be a child of God and proclaim to be Baptist if you want. But why don't you try proclaiming to be a child of God instead? Because that's all that matters. But again, as you know, the Methodist Church in Versailles is splitting over this new generation that we look into, the LGBT and all this kind of stuff, and they're splitting over that instead of someone standing up and saying, "Thus saith the Lord." They're doing what religion does, and they're debating it among themselves, and what they come up with, they decide that's true instead of what God's word is true. Well, these Methodists, these Methodists who got it all wrong, some of them are going to a Baptist church. And the gentleman told me that, you know, what we're doing when they come here is we're setting them straight. We're not going to let them join our church. We're going to set them down, and the preacher's going to go with them. They're going to have 3 or 4 or 5 sessions, whatever it takes. He says, because that's what we should do. We just don't let anybody join our church. Last time I read a scripture is that you don't join church. You're born into it. And do you see the tragedy here that I'm talking about? I hope you begin to understand what's going on in our world and the deception of Satan. That these people are more concerned about these people coming, that they're Baptists instead of children of God. And if that doesn't make you sick, there's something wrong. But see, that's what's happening. It's a gospel according to man instead of a gospel according to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And it's a tragedy. He goes on to say, but when God, who had set me apart, see, it should be God who sets us apart and not our denominations. It should be our righteous living that sets us apart. It should be the calling of God upon our life that sets us apart. From my mother's womb, and he called me through his grace and was pleased. See, grace is that unmerited favor. Unmerited favor that God gives us. I don't deserve it. And what was the grace for? Well, we continue to read. To reveal his son in me. It's not to reveal his son, but it's to reveal his son in me. See, religion is just about revealing a Jesus that's been trumped up, that's been changed, a God that doesn't exist, instead of revealing the true God in each and every one of us. That's the purpose of the gospel, is that it gets revealed to each and every one of us. Why? Why? So that I might preach him among the Gentiles. He had a purpose for his life. In Sunday school, we learned that we're to be the salt of the earth. Why is he revealing himself in you? So that you could be the salt of the earth. So that you could be that lamp upon a hill, that light. You know, I've told you before, a light is worthless in a lighthouse. If I got a light that's sitting in a lighthouse, where is the light most beneficial? In the dark. So he's going to use us for the darkness of this world to shine a light upon our trespasses and our iniquity, so that we know by the conviction of the Holy Spirit that we're apart from God. That's its purpose. He didn't save you to go to heaven. He saved you for his purpose. We're supposed to be ambassadors of Christ. Not the convicting power of the Holy Spirit. Who are we to judge another? Who are we to judge a lost world? When we ourselves forget the iniquity that we were in. You know why most religious people aren't compassionate? Because they've not been saved. It's not been revealed to them their iniquity and what God has saved them from. Because when you mourn over that, and you mourn over the iniquity in your life, and you mourn over the situation that you're in compared to a holy God, then you'll be humbled. And you'll have a compassionate state that allows you to look past the transgressions of others and look at these people that are souls that are going to hell if they don't hear truth. We don't have preachers anymore that are standing up and preaching truth. We have people that are standing up and preaching what's tickling their ears, and the Bible predicts that. It's going to happen. We can't change that. It's going to happen. But my responsibility as your pastor is to tell you what's happening so that you're not deceived. Satan wants to destroy you. He wants to destroy your family. Forget those ancestral traditions, please. But when God, who has set me apart, even from my mother's womb, and called me through his grace, was pleased to reveal his son in me so I might preach among him, the Gentiles, I did not immediately consult with flesh and blood. Huh? You don't need to come to me. You don't need to hear my opinion on whether you're saved or not. My opinion doesn't matter. You don't need to consult with flesh and blood. His spirit will bear witness with your spirit that you're a child. See, we want someone to tell us we're okay. We want someone, have you ever been to funerals and people just brag on how great these people are? And how much work they did in the church? But they've died and gone to hell because they've never been born again. It's a sad state, affair that we are in our world today, that we're allowing religion and we're allowing preachers that don't have a clue what God's word says, because they are going and they're being taught by men and not by God. See, I always wonder about these women preachers, and I didn't know that these was on podcast. I had no clue that this was being broadcast and everybody could listen to this, but I'm probably going to get hate letters on this. How can a woman stand up here and be a pastor of a church when God clearly in his word says only a man can do that? And yet, they're sitting here trying to tell you what God's word says, and you're sitting under a woman pastor, and she herself doesn't listen and obey the word of God? Wow! You're getting what you deserve. Anytime you step out of the realm of God's truth and try to make it appealing to you, not that women can't do this, it's that God said you're not going to do this. Okay? It's that simple. I did not merely consult flesh and blood, nor did I go to Jerusalem to those who were apostles. So again, he didn't even go to Peter, James, and John, and Luke, and Mark, and Matthew, and all those guys. He didn't go to those folks. Bartholomew, he didn't go to those guys and say, man, look what happened to me. What do you think? Huh? You think this is a good thing or bad thing? Am I saved? No, he didn't. What did he do? He went away. He went to Arabia and then turned to Damascus. 3 years later, he shows himself to the apostles. He was taught, he was trained by the Holy Spirit to the point that even in his life he had to call Peter out in front of everyone because Peter had begun to become prideful and hold himself aloft from the Gentiles. He used to eat with the Gentiles and consider them the same, but then these very prestigious religious folks came in, and he began to listen to men. He began to hold himself aloft. He had forgotten what he had been taught. He had forgotten how he had been saved. He had forgotten how the Holy Spirit came upon the Gentiles, and that there was no... God didn't hold anybody in favoritism of another. But he began to hold himself in favoritism because he was a Jew. But see, Paul, because he went and was taught by Holy Spirit, he was able to understand what was going wrong, and he went and he approached him and said, you're wrong. Instead of being friends and buddies with them. Making sure we don't say something that's, oh, going to hurt somebody's feelings. And we talked about this in school too. You got to do it in gentleness and love. There's a proper way and there's a proper time to do it if we allow God to work and go before us in our lives and the people that we care about in our lives. The problem is we try to be religious and we try to go in and tell people all the things that they're doing wrong, and then they watch us. Huh? Then they watch us. I'm not perfect, but I'm being perfected. I am perfect. I just haven't realized it yet, to be honest with you. When you become a child of God, you are perfect. You just happen to be trapped in this flesh. And then when you begin to attack the sins of others, and then they watch you and see that, wow, you're speeding down the road, or wow, you told a little white lie, or how come religious people's sins don't stink? How come? Because they never, ever put God's truth and focus upon their own life to remove that log out of their own eye. See, if we don't get back to Scripture, and we don't get back to truth, and we don't get back to the true gospel, then, and it's going to continue. People aren't going to listen to this. This is nonsense. Because when we have to rely upon a God in fear and trembling to see what he's going to do, because we don't know what he will do, we can't force him to do anything. And we put our fate in the hands of a merciful, holy God that also holds us accountable to our sins. See, that's not palatable. See, I just have to acknowledge it. I don't have to live it in religion. For 3 years later, I went to Jerusalem to become acquainted with Cephas and stayed with him for 15 days. Wow. What amazing truth. I can't give you what I have. I can't give you a formula for what I have. You have to sit down with holy God and his holy scriptures, and with a heart that is open, not to prove what you believe, but to find out what you are to believe. Don't consult a Baptist minister. Don't consult a Methodist minister. Don't consult a Catholic minister or pope or priest. Why don't you just try sitting alone with Almighty God in his holy scriptures and allow him to teach you? Because it's only those that are taught by God that come to the saving knowledge of who he is.